everyone, and welcome to Retail Recorded by Colliers. I'm your host, Angie Solanke, National Director of Retail for the U.S., and I thank you for joining us as we continue our podcast series through the end of 2023. And so with that, I'm excited to have Neil Saunders join us from Global Data. Now, many of you know Neil and I go way back. We love the fundamentals of retail, all things retail, and I thought, hey, why not? We should have Neil back on to talk about trends that we're seeing in 2023 and how that translates into 2024 from a forecasting perspective. Now, we all know there are definitely certain fundamentals within retail that we see, that we hear in the media, etc., and we've been reporting on those trends. But let's talk about something different. And so I want you to really listen in because we're going to talk about different things as it relates to what the consumer is not only seeing, but how retailers are reacting to it. How are we reacting to it from a real estate perspective? And how do we start to form our own opinions around these different demands and drivers? So first and foremost, let's welcome Neil. Neil, thanks for being here with us again.
Thank you for having me, Angie. It's always great to come and talk to you.
Neil, can you always, as we like to do, we always get new listeners that jump on onto our podcast series. So maybe just a brief background, who you are, why you love retail.
Yeah, sure, Angie. So my name is Neil Saunders. I'm the Managing Director of Global Data, which is a research and insights firm. I head up the retail division, so I look at all sorts of things to do with retail. And I think, like you, Angie, I love the sector because it's so dynamic. There's always change. There's always opportunities. There's always lots of challenges to overcome. And it never stands still, as you know all too well.
100%. And that's why I think we've been so resilient, as we've discussed in some of our reports together about, there's fewer bankruptcies, there are more openings, there are new retailers that are emerging from offline to, online to offline, excuse me. But also we're starting to see, retailers continue to expand, to grab market share, to grab that customer that will, at the end of the day will become a loyal customer, hopefully. But let's talk about some unique trends that we're seeing in the marketplace, that we're really looking at from today's point of view, but focused on 2024. Look, at the end of the day, retail, as it relates to all things macroeconomics, inflation, price increases, demand on retailers, trying to look at how they're going to influence higher margins, etc. We've evaluated that. We know we're going to end the year probably around 4 to 4.5% in terms of year-over-year sales growth. But I want to hear from you. I want to hear what else is going to occur in retail next year?
Sure. Well, I think, retail next year is going to be reasonable in terms of growth. But I think there's going to be a lot of shifting behaviors, Angie. Some of the things we've seen this year are going to spill over into next year. Consumers budgeting more closely, moving more into value channels to make their dollar stretch further, people being much more selective about what they buy. And that means it's going to be that same kind of patchwork we're seeing at the moment. I think retail will do okay overall, but there's going to be this polarization between winners and losers and a real sort of jostling for market share. Now, that sounds kind of challenging and may sound a bit negative, but actually, as you know, it produces a very dynamic and interesting environment because, as you said in your opening piece, it means people have got to work really hard to secure the new customers, to get the new locations, to really think creatively about how they're going to grow. And that leads to a lot more innovation. I think it leads to a lot more excitement and interest in retail. So it's going to be a very dynamic and very interesting market for consumers and for anyone that's involved in the retail environment.
Neil, you said something really interesting, and I want to touch upon that. And that is, to your point, all channels tied to retail, including the industrial channel, is also going through a resurgence. It's going through an innovation. And therefore, when you embrace all these different channels, we will definitely see, I think, a rapid movement towards fulfillment. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that's one of the really interesting aspects, Angie, because what we've seen across the course of this year is a lot more investment in speedy delivery. Obviously, Amazon has always been very good at this, but even they have really stepped up the pace. They've changed their warehousing structure so that they now have a number of key hubs in different areas of the country, and they distribute the stock based on algorithms and using AI to where it's needed. So actually they're putting the stock a lot closer to the customer. And what's fascinating about that is it's enabled them to improve delivery speeds. You can get now many more things delivered same day and next day on Amazon than you could do at the start of this year. But interestingly, it's also reduced the cost of doing that because they're putting the stock closer to where the customer is. And that to me is really smart because it's a win for the customer, but it's also a win for Amazon because it's just a lot more efficient and it helps their profitability. So even a giant like Amazon's making these investments, and that means that everyone else is trying to follow suit. Walmart is trying to improve delivery times, as is Target. There's a real investment there to try and improve the convenience and the speed for the customer. And of course, it's changing the way people approach warehousing, distribution, logistics, which has an impact on real estate. And that includes how retailers use stores, because although we like to talk about online and offline, stores are often a very critical part of that logistics network because many orders are now fulfilled from stores, or stores are used as hubs for points of collection for online orders. So there's a big change in how we approach distribution and logistics, and that will definitely continue and accelerate in 2024.
So that operational focus towards efficiency leads me to returns. You know, it's what we're saying is, hey, consumer, you know, you see a sweater that you like, but you're not sure which color, and maybe you might order three different colors, but you're going to ultimately either keep all three or return a few. And so from that return perspective, do you still see there's some efficiencies there? Are we really dragging down this whole green environment because of this speed to market in terms of consumer demand and delivery?
Well, I think that it's a really good point, Angie, because returns is really still the Achilles heel of online retail, especially in a category like clothing. Return rates are very, very high, and they're very expensive. The retailer bears a lot of the costs. Sometimes it bears all of the costs for those returns, and it just erodes margins. What we've started to see this year, and I think it will continue into 2024, is retailers becoming stricter about returns. Some retailers have started charging customers to make returns, which, of course, customers don't like, but it does help to reduce the rate of returns. It also has a bit of a depressing impact on sales in some cases. But we're also seeing more creative ways to reduce returns as well. So for example, retailers improving photography on the site so you actually can see very clearly what you're buying. Retailers doing more around sizing and trying to make sizing uniform because things that don't fit properly are one of the really big reasons for returns. So we're seeing the use of AI to try and improve sizing across ranges for clothing retailers. So retailers are putting a lot of effort into reducing returns. And where they can't reduce returns, they're also trying to push customers to return to store, because in that case, the retailer, yes, they have to deal with the returns in terms of processing them, but they don't bear any of the cost for the actual logistics of the return because the customer is bringing it straight into the store. So there's a lot of dynamics and changes around how retail approaches returns.
So, and I think that's fabulous because I think we need to really focus on that. Again, you know, it's great to have all this innovation and technology, but we need to take into consideration kind of the you know, the back end, the behind the scenes that some speak to, but not all. And I think, you know, when we talk about innovation, it's great to see a lot of the innovation that is occurring from, you know, call it, you know, the food perspective. So, you know, more and more we're seeing new concepts and brands exploring ways as it relates to food and the convenience of food. I mean, I just saw a concept recently, which I was like, this is fantastic. You're telling me that I can basically have a variety of options to purchase meals. Let's just call it meals, right? So for example, I can go to the traditional route, go to the grocery store, buy all the ingredients and cook at home, should I desire. Another option is that, deliver and order and have it delivered, or I can go and pick it up. Other options we've been seeing is these, really well curated, cooked meals that are of chef quality that we can basically go to a beautiful environment and store that's small in scale and look at all the different options and grab and go and just heat at home that are healthy, that are tasty. I think keyword tasty. And we're continuing to see that. I mean, a friend shared with us, just this morning, a link about what they're calling Tesla Dine In, where, as you're pulling in, powering up, you're going to, cross the street or go into the shopping center, pick up something from a quick QSR or casual dine, sit in the car, watch a movie that you downloaded and enjoy your meal. I mean, where's our society going?
Yeah, I think food service is fascinating. And I think one of the things that the pandemic did is it just blurred the lines between food service and dining at home. A lot more restaurants, for example, whether they be, smart casual restaurants or even more upmarket pricey restaurants, they offer take home options. You can order online, go into the restaurant, pick a really good quality meal up, take it home and eat it in the comfort of your home. So a lot has changed in food service. And I think there is a lot more fusion now between food service and dining at home. And of course, retailers are getting in on the act as well, because whilst consumers are very conscious about the cost of food and they want to save money, I think there is this constant tension between convenience and money saving, because we also want to save time. And sometimes we're fine to make meals at home from scratch, but other times we're kind of busy, especially since we're starting to go back to the office, social events are obviously back in full force. So we're back to leading incredibly busy lives. So some of this, like cooking everything at home that took off during the pandemic, it's faded somewhat. We want good quality and, as you say, tasty meals, but we want them quickly on some occasions. So I think we've seen a lot more retailers move into making ready meals, doing things like meal kits. And that's another very, very interesting area of strong growth in retail. And I think we'll see a lot more innovation on that in 2024. I think the other thing that's also interesting is just the kind of QSR food service, because one of the things that seemed to have happened there, which fits in with this kind of convenience piece, is a lot more people are getting drive-through. They order either on their apps before they get to the QSR restaurant, or they're ordering when they get there, they're picking the stuff up, they're eating it in their car, or they're taking it home. And we are seeing a lot more restaurants being developed that have functions for automating the creation of meals for takeout, or having different processes for takeout meals, and also increasing the number of drive-through lanes. I think Chick-fil-A, which is always extremely popular, is opening a store somewhere that's got multiple drive-through lanes. It's like a colossus of drive-through because the demand is there to service it. So really interesting shifts in that space. And I think we'll continue to see evolution into next year.
I so agree. I mean, it, convenience is no longer a luxury. It's now an expectation. And I think that demand's going to increase year over year over year. So yes, it puts downward pressure on these retailers and also landlords. Let's not forget that. These investors have to kind of rethink and remodel how they're looking at their shopping centers or their projects, whether existing or new builds. So I completely agree with you. It's just, we're going at such an accelerated speed. It's just so hard to keep track of all of this. But so taking all this into account, who do you think are the top three winners, if you want to call them winners? I think they're all winners in my opinion, except for those that are just so far behind and lag. But who do you think are going to be highly successful, in 2024 regardless of their use category.
Yeah, sure, Angie. Well, I think there's probably no surprises here. I think one of the key winners is going to be Amazon, because Amazon, as you said, is focusing on convenience, and convenience is very important. It's not a luxury anymore. It's essential. And I just feel Amazon is making so many investments to improve the proposition, to improve the speed of delivery. And it still is that go-to destination if you want to buy something quickly online. We hear a lot about Amazon perhaps suffering from the rise of Shein and Temu. And I believe they are longer-term threats. But in the short term, I don't think they have Amazon's logistical prowess in the US. And I also just don't think they have Amazon's trust levels, because Amazon sells a lot of products. Some of it is more expensive product. It's not just all relatively cheap stuff as you would get on Temu. So it still fulfills a really important role in servicing the consumer. So Amazon, I think, is a winner, especially in the online space. And Walmart is another one I would pick out as being a winner. I think Walmart is a great retailer. It's had tremendous success this year by pulling in more customers on the food side, because we all want to save money, and Walmart does a great job of keeping prices low. Where it's not done so well this year is on the non-food general merchandise side. People have cut back a bit. But there's also an issue with Walmart stores. They're just not great in terms of providing inspiration for non-food. They're perfectly functional, they're perfectly decent, but they don't really capture the imagination of the customer. Walmart's changing that. It's investing billions in its stores across the US. And this, for me, is interesting because it is a massive vote of confidence in real estate. Walmart know what they're doing. They're not going to invest in areas that don't generate a return. And the fact that they're trying to improve stores in general merchandise, make them more inspirational, put better lighting in, just make them places where people want to come and have a browse around and then hopefully buy something, that tells you how important physical retail is for driving sales. And I think Walmart's going to see success there. So I mark them out as one of the winners in the retail space.
That's great. I mean, I think, you know, to your point, they definitely have a significant tilt towards the food side of the business. And I think that's wonderful to kind of just kind of explore and see. So, you know, the last two questions that I quickly have here is, when you see these, you know, these issues around smash and grab, things of that nature, you know, and I know retailers are really struggling and trying to figure out how do we, you know, come up with a process, a system, a way to reduce that, and just kind of push this out, push this noise out once and for all, if possible. How do we get back there? You know, one thing I saw, I think it was on one of the media channels just in the last 24 hours, that there's a company that's looking at actually creating, you know, wall-to-wall-to-wall, basically these massive, you call it vending machines that have all of the different products that you have to press a button to get an employee to come over and open up the door and unlock it for you, which can take 5 to 10 minutes. And instead, this is all done through QR code, where you just say, this is what I want, flash the QR code like an Amazon locker, and boom, your product arrives. It's already paid for. You can walk out. Like, I would love that. So are you seeing more of that? Do you think that's definitely, I think, a trend in 24?
Well, it's got to be, Angie, because this approach of locking things up behind cabinets doesn't work. It reduces sales, it frustrates customers, it makes the whole physical shopping experience subpar. And I noticed this weekend in a Target that I visited that this is now going beyond locking up toothpaste and other essentials. In the Target I was in, they started to lock up men's socks and underwear. Well, that just makes the whole shopping experience really inconvenient. You can't touch and feel the product. You have to wait for someone to come and open the cabinet. And you know what? For some socks, I'm not bothering with that. I'm going online. So we need to have a better solution. And I think what you mentioned, the kind of vending machine QR thing, is much more effective because it puts the customer back in control. I don't think it's ideal because in some categories, as I said, you like to touch and feel the merchandise to compare it, but it is a better option than just bluntly locking things up in cabinets. So we're going to see a lot more innovation around technologies that help solve this issue of crime and smash and grab, because it is an issue. The response to it at the moment isn't ideal, and we need a lot more creativity to work for the retailer and for the customer experience as well.
Customer experience. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Final question. This has been a great, great conversation, but final question is, so Neil, I know I've asked before, if you could be any retailer, who would it be? Let's see if you have a different answer for 2024.
If I could be any retailer, who would I be? I would be Whole Foods, because I think Whole Foods is a good retailer, but I don't think it's a great retailer. And I think they could be a great retailer. I think if Whole Foods put a lot more effort into food innovation, into really trying to become that destination for tasty food and not just being focused on health, which they largely are, I think they could do phenomenally well. But I just don't think the proposition is quite there yet. So I'd love to get my hands on Whole Foods and shake it all up and make it into a real force to be reckoned with in food. That's what excites me. So it's a different answer to the one before, but I see potential there and I'd like to see that really exploited for Whole Foods.
Whole Foods, I hope you're listening. Parent company, hope you're listening. Neil is the person you need to grab. He will do wonders. So Neil, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me, Angie. It's great to chat to you.
Wonderful. So with that, thank you again to our audience and being online with us here, listening into our podcast series at our Colliers hosted environment, where we're really talking about different topics, different things, sharing knowledge. This is all important to us. We love retail. And as you can hear it in our voices, it's in our DNA. If you have any topics you want to hear about, talk about, please let us know. We really want to make this more informative. So thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's discussion. Join us next time for Retail Recorded at Colliers and look forward to hearing about what's going on in December year in trends. Thanks again. Ciao.